Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Final words, it is finished. The whole of heaven rejoices at the sound of those words, it is finished. The angels celebrate, heaven celebrates, the Father celebrates, it is finished. His children finally may come home. The typical Good Friday story we hear is the sin of the people was so bad, you should feel guilty. Your sin was included in that. The Lord sent his son to pay for that. You should feel guilty. He had to do that for you. Be thankful. You should sit in a place of unworthiness and thankfulness. This morning, I believe the Father's really wanting to shift our perspective and what we dwell on. What we celebrate as we join and rejoice together this Good Friday. When Jesus began his ministry, he opened up the scroll of Isaiah and he read how the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, how the Spirit had anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Here on the cross it is fulfilled, it is finished." Here at the cross we see that Jesus picks up no scripture, no scroll. He holds no defense. Pilate says to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Scripture says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And without words, he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that had been spoken some 600 to 800 years beforehand. No one uttered a word to defend him. It's important to look at the scene. That's what we do at Good Friday. But so often we live as Old Testament Christians in a New Testament world. We hear from Isaiah these words, "He was despised and rejected by mankind. We held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain, bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God in our place, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We, all like sheep, have gone astray, yet each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished." That's truth. But what does Jesus speak of all this guilt, all this unworthiness, all this separation from God the Father on the cross? What's his perspective? The work of Isaiah 53 is completed on the cross. He says his perspective on all of this, all of our wrongdoing, all of our transgressions, he says it is finished. All that would cause guilt to rise up in us, it is dealt with. It's finished. Yet we can often, as Christians, stay as Old Testament Christians as we live a life centered around a cycle of guilt, forgiveness, wrongdoing, guilt, forgiveness, wrongdoing. But what did Jesus say on the cross? He said, "It is finished." Good news proclaimed to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, the oppressed set free, the year of the Lord's favor here, it is finished. And so as New Testament Christians, we move from guilt to forgiveness to freedom. Not guilt to forgiveness to wrongdoing, but guilt to forgiveness to freedom, free from all that would oppress us because we embrace what Jesus has opened up for us on the cross. So as we look at the cross, there's two responses. As we hear all these ows and we's and this talk of transgression, we think, isn't it terrible that my sin put him there? I'm such a bad person. I still do the wrong thing by God. This world is so corrupt. God says I'm a bad person, that I'm that bad that his son had to die on the cross. And so we hear this truth, and because we've got such a self-centered, self-focused world, we turn that truth on ourselves. This needed to happen because of me. Immediately we connect this with ourselves. What does it say about me? What does this say about us? A second response, a response I feel like God's calling us to take is, isn't his love amazing? Isn't Jesus beautiful the way that he poured out his life? How sufficient is his grace? He so loved them. He so loves us that he would do this for us. He so loves us. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't this perfect love? A month or so ago, I was looking at an infographic which gave a summary of all the words that are used in our pop songs in 2016, all the top words that were used, so the words that were most likely to be included in a chart-topping song. Kind of went, yeah, baby, baby, ain't, ringing, ring, toothbrush was in there. Thrills, Jumpman, Blackstar, Controller, Untouchable, Kanye, Grammy, Drake, Corvette. There's some of the words, but once you get past those, you get words such as redemption, somebody, confident, sorry, something, pressure, praises, limit, need, blessings. There's a sense of wanting to be someone, to be better than someone, a sense of wanting to be with someone, to have something, to be able to declare that you've made it by what you have, who you're with, how much power that you have, to build a name for yourself. That's what music is communicating about what we as a culture want at this time, to build a reputation or a name for ourselves. And this is the world we live in, where we're seeking to build a name for ourselves. Whether it's a big name or we feel like it's just an ordinary name, who will we be known as? Who will we, in front of others, be recognized as? What will people call us? We're all searching for this. What will we be known for? Some of us simply long for simple names, to be called someone's loved one, a husband, a wife, maybe to be called someone's mum or dad, to be called a good worker. What's the name that we desire? What will others say of us? It's days like today where we consider, what does God think of us? What does he call us? How does he see us? Who are we to him? Who are we in relationship with him? We consider, where are we in our relationship with him? You see, there's no greater calling in this world than the calling of your Creator. There's no other voice that is able to speak life the way his voice does. No person can speak words that will change you like he does. There's no other voice that's able to offer you a better word. There's no other voice that is able to soothe the wounded soul, heal the broken heart, set the captive free like the voice of our Father in heaven. The people of Jesus' day had not heard a word of the Lord for over 400 years. The word of the Lord was scarce in their time. Look at the way the Father in the Bible at the start of John speaks of his son Jesus, the one who he'd loved for all eternity. Before he began his ministry, before he'd done anything, at the very beginning he was baptized by John, and what did he declare over him? He said, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus had even begun his ministry, he declared his love for his son. He didn't have a name before people, but the Father declared who he was. Now he is known as the Father's beloved son. He completes his ministry on earth, living perfectly, loving everyone, including his enemies, to the end, perfectly. This is Jesus. He did this because he knew the Father's love, and the Father's word of love was in his heart. Yet on the cross, do we hear the Father's voice? Do we hear the Father giving a message of approval? We see Jesus declaring it's finished, but the Father's voice is absent. The Son cries out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" The voice that is there is the voice of the accuser. "Look at you up on that cross. Surely if you're the Son of God, you can get yourself down from here." The enemy, the same voice that accuses us and says that we are unworthy. You see, he came and clothed himself in what was ours, all of our disgrace, all of our shame, to bear our burden on the cross, such that the Father could not look upon him with approval anymore. The Father doesn't speak, and his absence speaks loudly. But the sin that held him there, the punishment that was ours, was what kept him there. Out of love, he took upon himself so as to declare to the world, those whose life is hidden in him are loved. The persistent battle for reputation that we all face on that cross, to make a name for oneself, the need to defend oneself before others, the need to save face before God, was dealt with on the cross. It is finished. Jesus took it all on himself. So for all those who are in Christ, they've received the stamp of their Creator's approval before the whole world. So for us, what we do is as we look at the cross, we leave our sin at the cross. We leave our shamefulness at the cross. We leave our dishonor at the cross. We leave every sense of our reputation built on our own works at the cross. We don't look back with regret. We look with love at what our Savior has done, and we look and we see how much we were loved that Jesus would take this upon himself. The righteous one dying for the unrighteous, that we may be declared righteous with him. You see, Jesus didn't stay on the cross, and we'll get to that on Sunday, but at the moment we're going to stay here with the cross. We leave all that says that we're unworthy at the cross. We leave all of our brokenness at the cross, all of our hurt and our pain and our suffering at the cross, because the cross declares that we are loved this much. We are loved more than life itself. But there's another side to the story. What was the Father up to? Maybe the Father was not voicing his approval at the cross because this is not the place where he wanted his people to stay. Maybe he was voicing his approval somewhere else. Where would he do that? How was he doing that? Jesus was despised, rejected, crucified among criminals at Golgotha, where many have been crucified before, a place of death, destruction, sin, unholiness. But what was the Father up to? The Father was dealing with something else. The holiest place to the Jews was the temple because they believed that God dwelt in the holiest of holies. This was the place where they met with God, but everyone didn't meet with God there. It was exclusive. Entry into it was reserved for people who held the right name, a Levite, a priestly name. They had to be born into the right family, not only Jewish, but born into the right family. Entry was reserved for those who had the appearance of righteousness within that family, who'd been elevated to the right position in temple life, and the elected few got to go in once a year. You see, what Jesus was dealing with on the cross was all the unholiness that separates us in our relationship with our Father in heaven, our inability from human effort to actually connect with God, our inability because of unholiness to come into the presence of a holy God, apart because of our names, our titles, and disapproval. Jesus was dealing with the distance in our relationship with God. So on the cross, Jesus was making a way for us to be declared loved, approved of, worthy. He was giving us a new name and a new title, a new birthright. So as he declared, "It is finished," and he breathed his last breath, he did what was necessary to restore our relationship with God in eternity. This was the joy set before Jesus, for Jesus, as he endured the cross, relationships restored, a new name, sons and daughters, a new birthright, a heavenly inheritance, part of a new family. What was the Father doing? Matthew 27:50, we see Jesus crying out in a loud voice with his final breath and he giving up his spirit. And at that moment, scripture says, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, the earth shook and the rocks split. The holiness of God was no longer contained in the Holy of Holies. God offered his approval, not at the cross, but at the temple, by allowing his holiness to invade the whole world, that whoever would receive him will become a dwelling place for him, that he would dwell in all who would receive him. The final word is paid. The declaration is you have a new opportunity to know the Father's love in the same way that Jesus did. See, the Father showed his approval of what the Son endured on the cross by opening up a way to know him. And so the question for us this morning as we consider the cross is, do you know him? Has this opened up a way for you to know the Father? Have you taken advantage of what Jesus has offered you in laying down his life? Or you're sitting at the cross, waiting when God has called you to be his temple. As we look at the cross, we don't remember how bad we were. We need to remember how loved we are. We don't need to think about how unworthy we are. We need to remember that we're counted worthy. This week, or the last few weeks, I've been seeking to listen to God more and talk less in my prayer life with him, and he's been really challenging me on that. And just this week, as I was laying down and I was just listening to some music with him, I felt him say to me, Randall, you're really good at listening to the noise of life and not to me. You see, I've described myself as a noise-sensitive person. If you click your pen next to me, that can really grate and frustrate me. If you eat an apple loudly in the silence around me, that can really get up my back a little bit. And what the Lord was saying to me is, you're a noise-sensitive person because you listen to noise and not to me. What's the final word? What's the final noise that you listen to? What's driving your life? What motivates you? Is it the words of Jesus on the cross? It is finished. Is it the approval of the Father given in offering you a new way to know him and to his voice speaking to you? Is it, what are you listening to? We don't need to have a distant relationship with God because he's opened the way for us to come near. We remember his approval of his Son is shown as he opens the curtain of holiness for us. And so will you invite him in? Let me pray for us. Our Father, with the cross, you issued an invitation to us. You issued an invitation for us to know you. You made a declaration that there's nothing now that can separate us from you. Father, where are we in our relationship with you? What's the noise that we listen to? Who are the words that we look for? What's the noise in our life now? We're listening for your voice. Father, you offer us a better word. You offer us your love, your approval. We remember that declaration today. And just as we're waiting here, we invite you, and just in your own words, you might like to invite the Father to speak to you. Father, speak to me. I'm your child. I'm listening. Speak to me from the finished work of your cross. In Jesus' name.